We are in the same book, same chapter today, John chapter number 4, and I'll begin reading at verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, or Sychar. I've always called it Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's as far as I want to read this morning for sake of reading. The thought stood out to me this morning, actually this weekend as I was studying, but what I'm reading this morning to you is in verse number 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. I want to preach just for a little while around, not specifically about, but around the well that Jacob gave Joseph. The well that Jacob gave Joseph. When we read here, it tells us exactly where it is. Now, over time, there's been about 2,000 years transpire. Almost 2,000 years from the time that Abraham and his family lived to this time that Jesus actually comes to this place and sets on the well. You think about that length of time. And but the Bible is clear when it says that he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, he also says, now Jacob's well was there. This well's known as Jacob's well. No doubt Jacob was the one that dug the well. And I begin to study about this and about the parcel of ground, and it's hard to find exactly where all this took place. And you begin to wonder why that it took place. And the pictures that are behind the love that Jacob had for Joseph. Joseph being, I think, his 11th son. Not the first son, but the 11th son. He was the first son of Rachel, I will say that, whom that Jacob loved very dearly. And but we go back, and if you want to look with me, you can look in the book of Genesis, is where the lives of Abraham and his family is found. In Genesis 33 and verse 19 and 20 is when Jacob is settling in Canaan. Jacob is coming into Canaan's land, the land that God had already given his father Abraham and Isaac. And now Jacob is settling into the land of Canaan. And he buys this piece of property. It was his first property that he bought. And he built his first altar there. Now, it's the first piece of property he bought and he built his first altar there, it could be the place where he dug this well. It seems to think that if he bought a piece of land over there where that he bought it, that he would dig a well. And but it's, again, hard to secure the city names. And was this exactly the spot? It may have been. But let's just go on and find out more about this plot. I mean, think of it. You got to remember. I mean, he gave this to Joseph. It's like a dad giving his son his very first pocket knife, you know what I'm saying? Or the first automobile, his old cruiser that he's had for a long time. This was what Jacob had to give to Joseph. And he did it because Israel, the Bible said in Genesis 37:3, that he loved Joseph more than his other brethren. Doesn't mean that he didn't love his other children. He just loved Joseph more. He loved Joseph more. And when you think about Israel or Jacob, that's his spiritual name, Israel. Jacob, that's his carnal name. That's his earthly, his family name. But when God speaks of him as Israel, and he does in Genesis 37, he said, Israel loved Joseph more. That's the spiritual man that he's speaking about. And so he loved Joseph more. And being it's his spiritual man, it's a picture of favor. It's a picture of grace. You think about that out of all of his sons. And I begin to think about salvation when I see pictures like this. How that God could love me. How that God would favor me. It's not that he doesn't love the others, but that he loves me the way that he loves me. Amen. That the Lord would stretch out his hand and grant to me all that he has given me. Think about that. And also, if you'll look in these stories about Jacob and about his life and how that he loved Joseph and what he did for all of his sons, he prophesied of what they would be, what their futures would be, what they would become of. But you'll realize that Israel, Jacob, made a coat of many colors for Joseph. And I sometimes get that confused with the coat over there that little Samuel's mother had made him. But it was a very loving thing for a family member to give that firstborn, that child for whom they've prayed, that they very much love, to give them a coat that they've handmade. And it's a picture, it's of course a gift. And God's salvation is a gift. It's the gift of God. That righteousness that he's clothing us with, amen? That picture, that's what it's a picture of. And it's his love that he had on behalf of another. I mean, when he gave Joseph that coat out of love, no doubt it was out of the love of his mother Rachel. Because when Joseph first came, or when Jacob first came to where he wanted to marry the daughters of Laban. It was Rachel who he sought to marry, the younger. But he gave Jacob his older daughter, and he labored another 7 years for the hand of Rachel. Why? Because he loved Rachel especially. Not that he didn't love his the other daughter, his first wife. She gave him many children and also gave him his only daughter. But there was something about that relationship between Jacob and Rachel that was different. That was that love, that connection. It was a different kind of love. Now, all these things are not a perfect picture, but you start seeing little pictures of God's love for us. Amen? And the love that Christ had for us, and the love between Christ and the Father. You can see all of that in the lives and the love of this family. Amen? I mean that it's a love like no other. That speaks volume. Amen? That God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him this coat on behalf of another because of the love of another. And he told him in chapter 48 of the book of Genesis and verse 21, Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. He's coming down to the end of his life. And he said, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. That may have been when he gave him the land. I'm not sure. But he gave him, he said, I've given thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. That I gained through conquering all enemies before me. Amen. You that know your Bibles, keep up with me here. Amen. Listen, our Lord will put all enemies under his feet. Amen. And he had given him, he said, he had given him a portion above his brethren. Now the brethren, you know, they didn't take to that too well. They saw the love that Jacob had for Joseph. And you know the story, what they did to Joseph. And Jacob even prophesied in Genesis 49 of what would happen to Joseph. He said in verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. That may be the well. A bough by the well. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. That's his own brothers. That's all his other enemies. But his brothers was as much an enemy to him at the beginning. That's why he was given to other enemies in Egypt that he faced, because of the way that his brothers did to him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. They brought his coat back that his father, who loved him, who made it for him. It's a picture of his love, and they rubbed blood of an animal on it and said, we found this, to leave Jacob to wonder what had become of his beloved Joseph. Amen? What a story. I mean, the story of his life. I mean, the deception of his brethren. That's a picture of Israel in their rejection of Christ. Their hatred of him. Their wanting him gone. Amen? And all these things. Listen, we see all of these pictures. He said, I've given thee a portion above thy brethren. So when I read all of these scriptures and I read these small bits about Jacob and Joseph in the Old Testament, I mean, even in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, you'll read, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. See, Reuben was the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn, then Simeon, then Levi, then Judah. Levi would be the priest. Judah would be the line for whom Christ would come. Then Dan, then Naphtali, then Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, then Dinah, the only daughter. After Dinah, it was Joseph by the womb of Rachel, and then little Benjamin from the womb of Rachel, whom Rachel died while giving birth. She called Benjamin Benoni, the son of my trouble. But Jacob loved him and said, he's the son of my right hand, and changed his name from Benoni to Benjamin. You see, even toward Benjamin, Jacob, I mean, there's a great picture there about that love relationship between Jacob and Rachel. Again, not that he didn't love the others, but he didn't leave him Benoni. He called him Benjamin. And Joseph had a special relationship. You remember, it was his love toward Benjamin that he came up with the plan that he came up with to scour against his brethren. You remember that story, how he put the cup in Benjamin's sack. Of all the ones, he put it in Benjamin's sack. Why? He was the youngest. He was the most tender. And the rest of the brethren, they knew that. They knew that Jacob would be very troubled that now that Joseph was gone. In his mind, he was gone. The only son of Rachel was left and now could be killed by the Pharaoh for thieving a cup from the land of Egypt. Boy, you talk about a mess. They was in a mess. And I'm not trying to get into that story, just give you a little bit of the line. But again, the love that we see that Jacob had there for him, had for Joseph. Even though Joseph, he was the firstborn of Rachel. Though Reuben was the firstborn of Leah, Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. The 11th born, but the firstborn of Rachel. It looks to me like that Jacob in his mind, because he came to secure her. And she gave him Joseph first. That's why he gave him the birthright. I don't know, it could be more to it, but that's what he said in 1 Chronicles 5:1. For as much as he defiled his father's bed, talking about Reuben. You see, Reuben, what he did, he came in and laid, when he got old enough, he came in and he laid with one of his dad's concubines. He defiled his father's bed. And Israel never forgot that. And when it come time for the blessing, he passed over Reuben because of his sin. Passed over him. And he said his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph. the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. And the birthright was Joseph's. Amen. I mean, when it was settled, it was settled. But we look, when you see this in John chapter number 4, and you begin to realize and remember back the picture of that relationship between Jacob and Joseph, and you read that, and then you see what he had given him, that parcel of ground that's still there. 2,000 years later, it's still there. And it still belongs to the sons of Joseph. And it's still referred to as Jacob's well. And Jacob's children are still there. Think about that. You say, well, it's in Samaria. They're half-breeds. She called him in verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob? Even though she was a half-breed Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile, she knew she was a daughter of Jacob. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, she told the Lord. How, and you think about this, I mean, look, in verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. You see the Lord asking of her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him. Boy, this is a great question. How is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? How could a Jew and a Gentile gather at one place at this well? And the Son of God asked her for living water. You talk about a picture of God bringing everybody in. Amen. You talk about a grand picture of all being gathered to the living water. What a picture it is. I mean, when you think about the what, I mean, and there's a great picture also of heritage. Look what Jacob gave to him. A well that still abides. A well that seems to be everlasting. Been good for 2,000 years. Though Jesus said, this water you'll thirst again. But I'll give unto you everlasting water. Real everlasting water. Maybe they thought this well was everlasting. I mean, it had been there a long time. But Jesus said, I'll give unto you water and you'll never, never thirst again. That well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? I'll give you a well. The same words from Jacob to Joseph. I'll give you a well. I'll give you a heritage. I'll give you a parcel, a part. Amen. A birthright. A birthright. I'm glad that I have a birthright today. Amen. You've got a birthright. Amen. I mean, think about it. A woman whose life was in a mess. Life lived in sin, wrecked in a mess. She absolutely did not turn out the way that she should have turned out. Their family was made from broken commandments. Marriage out of Israel, and she's the product of it, and her life just followed after. Children, they'll follow after the mistakes of parents a lot of times. This woman whose life was in a mess, I mean, she was a mixed, but she was a descendant of Jacob. Amen? And the part that thrills me is that this woman, who was in adultery, who had been married, sick, the man she is with, she was shacked up with, wasn't her husband. This woman could come to this well. Amen. Are you getting a hold of that? I said this woman could come to this well, Jacob's well, the one that he gave Joseph, and pour out water to drink from. Could you imagine? I mean, I wonder. Absolutely, I know that he didn't. Maybe he, since he prophesied, maybe he wondered. This well will bring the Savior to him one day. This day the Savior came to this well. Of all wells, Jacob's well. The one Jacob gave to Joseph that he loved so dearly. I mean, what more could you give somebody to say that your family, listen, the Savior's going to come to your well. It's going to come. He's going to come to this well. You'll be able to find him at this well. Amen. That our Savior would turn aside from everything else to come down to this well. Amen. She was able to come here for water, the place, and find him sitting thus on the well. How is it thou being a Jew, ask me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This was a different kind of Jew, amen. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, the gift that's been pictured since Jacob gave this well to Joseph. Who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink. Wonder how many people, have you ever thought about that, has come to that well and said, give me to drink. Give me to drink. And Jesus on this day is asking her, give me to drink. And she's, how could you ask me that? He said, if you knew who it was, you would ask of me. I'd give thee living water. I mean that you could find living water at this well. Amen? He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You see, she knew he couldn't draw out of that well. So where was the living water coming from? It was going to come from him. He's going to answer her. And she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Let me go on. And Joseph's, and from generation to generation, they've come here to drink from this well. This eternal well that they were always thirsty to come back again. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Give me this water. How many have come to that well asking for water? Asking for water. Jesus said, if you'll ask me, I'll give you living water. Have you ever asked him, give me this water? Give me this water that I don't thirst again, that I don't come back here anymore. Amen? That I don't come here looking for it. What a picture, what a picture, what a beauty, what a type. For our Lord himself, I mean, just there. I mean, there he was, incarnate. Amen. The water of life sitting right there on the side of the well. I believe he was, let me say it this way. I believe that well was a picture of him. You can get water out of this well, Joseph. This will sustain you, Joseph. This will always be good right here. It won't never run out. Amen. It won't never run out. It'll be here for you whenever you come. It's a picture of our Lord. The living water. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Somebody sold that out. You know what? They just saw a piece of ground. You know how many, I've wondered how many of them just saw him as a man. They just saw Jesus as just a man. Just an ordinary man. Didn't realize what he held, what was in him, what was his to give freely, his to give abundantly. They've never had to wait for that well to fill back up so they can start using it again. As far as I know, it's never run dry. I've drunk from that well over there. Some of the clearest, coolest, sweetest water that you'll ever drink of. Look down inside of it, and it's just like a big rock cistern down inside. That's what it looked like. Sir, give me this water. Have you asked him? Have you asked him for this water? I mean, really, have you drunk? Have you, you can, listen, you can ask, but have you drunk? And more importantly, have you throwed your water pot down? What you think you have to carry, whatever it is that you're wanting to get in, you need to get rid of that. Because I promise you, your cistern's got holes in it. It won't be able to hold this water. You need to be made new. You got to be made new to hold this water. Amen. The Lord can make you new. Listen, this well, it's still good to draw off of. Sometimes I think a lot of people think, you know, Christianity gets old to them maybe. I don't know what it is. or prayer, going to the Lord. You know, they just kind of get tired. Listen, if you don't go to the well, you're going to dry up. You have to. It's the only place. It'll still do what it always has done. Our Lord can still help you, can still make you vibrant again from the heat of the day, put life back in you. Amen. From the workload. People come in there many times. I mean, from running sheep or cattle or whatever it is. I mean, just dirty from head to toe, being out in the wilderness. Was able to wash and freshen up and drink as much as they wanted. One generation to the next, they passed it down to. It's good for the next generation. What you and I have, listen, we don't have to change it. We don't have to change it. It's good for the next generation. What we find in the Lord, what we have found in the Lord, it's good for every generation. It's been good for thousands of years. Now that was back then, 2,000 years. And you know what? Since then, it's been 2,000 years. That well's been there for 4,000 years, Brother Brandon. And it's still doing what it always has done. I'm glad that our Lord's promises are everlasting. Never ending. Amen. I want you to stand.